So if you have a Bible, you can open up to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be in verses 22 through 33. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can gather together. Thank you for your word, God, that you speak to us, that you grow us through your word, God. I pray that as we dig into your word tonight, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, God. Just give me the words to say, Lord. God, I thank you for being a good God who loves us. Lord Jesus, you gave your life for us, and that we can now give our lives in return to you, God. So I pray as we go through your word tonight, Lord, that we would hear from you, that we would grow in our relationship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I'm going to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of my illustration that I have here, but it's all that I got, so we're going to go with it. It's a sports illustration because I love sports and I love baseball. And when I was in middle school, probably 7th grade or 8th grade, I was living in Cloverdale, but I was playing baseball down here in Windsor. And Kaiser Park was brand new. Those baseball fields over there were brand new. And my team was the first team to play on the new field. And I was actually the starting pitcher, and my team was the home team. So I was the first person to ever pitch at the new field. So I was pretty stoked about that. And so obviously I threw a perfect game and, you know, hit 3 home runs. No, that didn't happen. But when I think about the idea of being first, the first at something, the first to do something, my mind goes to Will Ferrell and this movie called Talladega Nights, which I know none of you have seen that. It's not very kid appropriate or anything, but, you know, I don't recommend it. But there's a funny quote in the movie. It says, if you're not first, then you're last. If you're not first, you're last. But secondly, my mind also goes to the idea that if you're the first to do anything, then you have the ability to make the most impact because no one else has done it yet, right? So like if I threw a perfect game on the new mound, then I'd be the first one to do it and everyone else would have to live in my shadow. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, we can make a huge impact on this world by having faith and allowing God to use us in ways that we haven't let him use us before, right? In new ways. If we allow God to use us in new ways, then like the first thing, like we can do great things in this world. So when we look at the Bible, we can see Peter, who is a disciple of Christ, he was the first to do a bunch of things. He was the first to do a bunch of things when it came to his relationship with Jesus. Peter experienced a lot of firsts with Jesus, and he was used in mighty ways. And I think that we love Peter, or at least I do, because he's the most like us, or he's the most like me. I feel like I can relate to him in a lot of ways. He was kind of like a shoot first, aim second kind of guy. He was outspoken. He was loudmouthed. He had a short temper. He was the first to act. He was the first to speak. He was the first to react to any and everything. And so he got to experience and interact with Jesus in many different ways than the other disciples got to experience because of this fact that he was willing. He was willing to do things that other people weren't. And so as we think about his life, we can see that he was the first to follow Jesus. We can see that he's the first to declare Jesus as the Messiah. He's the first to follow Jesus after Jesus got arrested. He was the first to cut off an ear of a Roman soldier. He was the first to get up and defend Jesus. And there was many times where Jesus had to say, no, step back. Like, this is not my will. Like when he cut off the ear of the Roman soldier. He was the first to speak without thinking. And so if you've been around church for any length of time, the story that we're going to talk about is a pretty well-known story. And it's a great example of Peter stepping out in faith and doing something new. And that's the story of Peter, Jesus walking on water, and Peter gets called to come to him. So that's the story we're going to be in. That's the scripture, the true, real story that actually happened that we're going to be going through tonight. But also, don't tune out, because I know maybe all of us have heard this story many times, and we can chalk it up as like, oh yeah, I've heard this before, and that's sometimes how we read scripture. So, oh yeah, I know that story, and we read through it, and we don't actually take in the miracle that we're reading. Because I think that this could help us realize how putting everything out there for God, and by stepping out in faith and allowing God to use us in new ways, will not leave us void. We'll see that it will always be worth it. So let's go ahead and read a couple verses here. So verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So what happened immediately before this was Jesus fed the multitude. Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and he miraculously fed over 5,000 people. And the disciples were there for that. They saw the whole thing. Jesus used them in that miracle. He had them go and take the food out to the people. And there was so much food. There was so many people. They were all fed till they were full, and there was still some food left over. An amazing miracle of God. And so that's what happened. And then immediately Jesus made the disciples go and get in their boat and sail across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was going to meet them there, right? And so Jesus goes up into the mountain alone to pray. And that in itself is amazing. If Jesus had to make it a priority to get away and be alone and pray and have time with the Father, then how much more do we need to do that? So be encouraged, be challenged. Prayer is an amazing thing. So continuing on. The second half of verse 23. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Did you know that there are 365 "do not be afraid" or "fear nots" in Scripture? It's like God's trying to tell us something, right? That's, if I can do my math right, that's like one for every day of the year. I don't believe in coincidences. So Jesus sent them out on the boat. And we got to remember that these guys are seasoned fishermen, right? Peter was a fisherman before he followed Jesus. And so I'm sure he had been out in the Sea of Galilee hundreds of times before. And he goes out, they all go out in the boat, and a storm arises. And they're trying to get to the other side of the sea, but the waves are beating the boat, the wind is strong, and they are basically stuck in the middle of the sea. And so the fourth watch of the night, that was about 4 a.m., they're up all night long trying to get through the storm to the other side, and 4 a.m. comes around, they've been up all night, they're tired, they're think they're hallucinating or something, and it's Jesus walking through the storm, through the waves to them. And this just reminds me of how amazing Jesus is in our lives. Is when we got storms in our life that's overwhelming us, Jesus is still in control of it, right? Jesus is walking through these storms like it's no problem at all. He's not fearful of the storms that they're afraid of. He just walks to them. And he says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Peter spoke up. He was the first to say something. When they all thought it was a ghost and they were scared, and Jesus replied, "Do not be afraid, it is I," Peter was the first one. "If it's really you, tell me to come to you." And notice what happened when Peter was asked, when Peter asked to come out. He got to be part of the miracle of God, and he got to experience Jesus in a way that none of the other disciples got to. Verse 29, he said, "Come." Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat, continuing on. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." So the disciples all got to experience Jesus in this new way, walking to them on the sea, on the water. And when they experienced Jesus in this new way, they worshiped him. They worshiped him for the great and mighty Savior and God that he is, right? No one else can do this, only Jesus. And so when they experienced the miracle of God, they worshiped him. I'm sure they were worshiping Jesus for every miracle that he's done so far. when he fed the 5,000 people earlier, the day earlier, right? I'm sure they were in awe of Jesus's power. Yet, if he can do that, if he can feed 5,000 people plus, can't he walk on water? Like, is there anything that he can't do? And so they worshiped. They worshiped him. And so going back to the point that these were all seasoned fishermen, right? They had, not all of them, but most of them, a lot of them were seasoned fishermen, right? They had sailed the Sea of Galilee many times. And then Jesus told them to go ahead and sail to the other side. And I'm sure Peter, who was kind of the natural leader of that group, was like, all right, let's go, guys. I got this. Like we're gonna go, no problem. And then he's kind of like taking control. And he's going to his comfort place. The place where he's most comfortable is on the water. And as he's focused on himself and on sailing to the other side and getting through these waves and the water, God caused a storm. This reminds me, though, of kind of what it's like in our lives. When we are in our comfort zones, we feel like we're in control. I actually think I'm jumping my notes here, but that's okay. When Jesus came out to meet them on the water, they stopped focusing on their boat and on their situation, and they started focusing on Jesus, which at first was, they thought it was a ghost, so Jesus needed to straighten them out real quick. But once they realized it was Jesus, and they fixed their eyes on Jesus, and Peter saw Jesus, he saw that Jesus was the safest place for him to be. He didn't worry about the boat anymore, but he saw Jesus and said, I want to be near him. And so in our lives, as we're in our comfort zones, as we're trying to do and go where we think God is calling us to go, sometimes we can get so focused on where we think God is trying to get us to go, and we're doing it in our own strength to get there, that God will cause a storm in your life in order to get you not focused on where he wants you to go, but to get you focused on him, right? So when you or I see Jesus, do we just stay in our comfort, in the comfort of our rickety old boat of life, or do we see what Peter sees? That being close to Jesus is the safest place that we can be. When the storms of this life are all around us and we're overwhelmed and we're tired and we're frustrated and we're scared, Jesus is still in control. So instead of staying in the place where we thought that we are in the most control of our own life, like Peter in the boat, where he thought he was in the most control, do we take a step of faith out into the unknown with full confidence that Jesus is in control of it all? So I want to ask, so what keeps us from experiencing God in new ways? What keeps us from experiencing God in new ways? Sometimes it can feel like things are getting dull and we're not really learning new things. We're not really growing, maybe. But why is that? And I think in my notes, I kind of went into an example of, like, why don't we share Christ with people? And what keeps us from sharing Christ with other people? And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about. But what keeps us from stepping out in faith and sharing the gospel with others? And I think that there's two main reasons why we choose to stay in our comfort zone, in the comfort of our boat. And the first one is complacency, right? We are okay with the status quo. We're fine with the way that things are. And it's good to have a reminder of what the reality of things actually are. And the reality is that we are constantly around people who do not know Jesus. Right? We are constantly around people who do not know Jesus and are dying eternally. People who we say we care about, who need Jesus, and so often we just don't say a word to them. We are numb to their need. And we just go about our day in lives. There are people in our lives who are eternally sick, and we know the cure. We know the healer and how they can be healed. Jesus' last words to his followers are what we call the Great Commission, right? Jesus told his disciples to go out into all of the earth and to share the good news, right? Jesus died to pay for our sins. He died to take our sins upon himself, which is what we talked about last week, right? We are reconciled to God through Christ. We no longer are broken and are destined for death, but we now have life. And eternal life begins now, here on this earth. We are justified to God through the sacrifice of Christ. And that is such an amazing gift. And so we have a gift. He has a gift to give people, a free gift. And all we have to do is share it, right? So many people take the Great Commission and they treat it like the Great Suggestion. Or maybe the Great If the Opportunity Presents Itself. But Jesus didn't conquer death for the great you'll get around to it one day, right? And then the second reason for not getting out of the boat is comfort. We're comfortable. I like being comfy, right? How many of you have like a spot in your house which is your comfy spot? It's where you go and sit down and read a book or watch TV, or just it's your comfort, like your comfy spot. I like being comfy. I think being comfy is good. But here's the truth. It's uncomfortable to talk about Jesus. It can be uncomfortable to talk about Jesus. Especially if it's the first time with someone. Maybe it's someone you don't even know that well. You don't know how they're going to react. That's uncomfortable. But I'm sure, as all of you know, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Right? It's uncomfortable to invite people to church or to bring up Jesus in conversations. It's uncomfortable to explain to others why you do or don't do certain things because you believe in Jesus. And I was trying to figure out why it is that way, and here's what I came up with. We care more about what they think about us than what Jesus wants to do in their life. when we see the opportunity to share Christ with others and we choose not to, it's because we care more about what they think about us than what Jesus wants to do in their life. So let me ask you something. If someone's eternity could change on the other end of an awkward conversation, would you have that conversation? Of course. So what if your friend or family member could meet Jesus and begin to chase something that truly matters? And that they can spend their life with a purpose. How many people are searching for a purpose in this world? And they're just looking in all the wrong places. There are so many people who want a relationship with God. They just don't know how. So many people. And the conversations that we have with other people are life-changing. So they could spend their life with a purpose, full of hope and joy, chasing the one thing that could truly satisfy them. But so often, the one thing that's holding them back is the conversation that we're not willing to have because it might make us a little uncomfortable. But let's be honest. Are you not glad that Jesus was willing to get a little uncomfortable for us? He was willing to get uncomfortable so that we can have life. So having a first conversation with someone who might be on your mind could be where you need to take the step out of the boat and to experience something new with God and allow him to use you in a way that you haven't before. Or for many of you, it could be something else. Right? I know a lot of you are not afraid to talk about Jesus. Right? You talk about Jesus every chance that you get. And that's amazing. Right? Praise God for that. So for some of us, it's a challenge. For other of us, not so much. But there are other areas in your life where God is challenging you to have faith, to step out. So where in your life, have you accepted complacency with Jesus? Is it in your workplace, in your personal life, in your family life, in your social life? Where in your life have you accepted and are okay with comfort? Where you stay in your comfort zone and are not willing to step out in faith for Jesus? Is that in your workplace or personal life or family life or social life? And let me ask you this last question. So what would your faith look like if you were to kill complacency and comfort in your life? Would you experience Jesus like never before? And I think that answer is yes. So the big question that we have to ask is, why step out in faith? It's because stepping out is always worth it. There will not be a single time where you step out in faith and regret it. Even when things go horribly wrong, like sharing the gospel with someone, and you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out in faith and share the gospel with this person. And you do it, and they're totally horrible and like hate you for it. Like, worst case scenario, whatever you can think about, right? It'll still be worth it. It'll still be worth it because we're planting seeds and we're stepping out in faith. When you step out in faith, it will always be worth it because that's what God wants for us. Right? And so Peter was the first to step out in faith in a lot of things. Right? Let's look at what he said in his letter to the churches in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. We're going to have it up here if you don't want to turn there. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19. So when we look at Peter's life and we see what he ended up writing in his letter, we can see that stepping out for him was always worth it. When we read what he has to say after being the first to do many things in God's name and under God's power, my hope and prayer for us is that we can throw away the complacency and the comfort in our lives in order for our faith to really grow and to experience God in a new, amazing way. So let's read what he says here. Verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let anyone who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." So this is my hope and my prayer for us. As you lead a godly life, looking to Jesus, there will be persecution. There will be uncomfortable things. But living a life for Christ is the best, most safe, most satisfying life that we can live. And remember when Peter was walking on the water towards Jesus, I imagine him saying, "Lord, if it's really you, call me to come and walk to you." And Jesus says, "Come." And immediately he sticks his foot out over the boat and feels the water and feels the firmness of his foot on the water. And he's like, "Whoa." And so he sticks his other foot out there and he's got 2 feet now out of the boat. And all the disciples behind him are awestruck. And Peter now has his eyes fixed on Jesus. And he's walking towards Jesus. And then what happens? He sees his surroundings. He sees the waves and the storm around him. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and he placed it on the circumstances around him. And that is when he began to sink. It's when he took his eyes off Jesus and he started focusing on the things around him. That's when he began to sink. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we look at our circumstances around us, and anxiety and stress and fear and confusion creep in, we can begin to sink. And when we begin to sink, there are only two things that can happen, right? We can allow the circumstances in our life to drag us down and drown us, or we can look at Jesus, fix our eyes back on Jesus, and call out for saving. Save me. And so often in our prayers, it can look like that. Save me, Jesus. Help me. And that's good. That's good that we're calling on Jesus to save us, to help us. And maybe you're watching online, maybe one of us here, and you've never called out for saving. And you feel like you're drowning, and you know in your heart that you need to call out for saving. Well, now is the time. There's no better time than now, because Jesus will save you. And he will draw you close to himself. All you have to do is ask. And as we in this room are, and online are drowning in our circumstances, all we have to do is call out for saving. Jesus will save us. He might not make our circumstances better, as we just read in 1 Peter. When we suffer for God's name, it's not easy, but it's worth it. And so if you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never called out for saving, it's as easy as this: admitting to God that you're a sinner, believing in your heart that he is who he says he is, that he died and rose from the grave in order to defeat sin in your life, and to ask for forgiveness, and then accept that you are now forgiven in faith. It's by faith that we are saved. And that's all. And then Jesus takes you by the hand and he leads you to safety. Jesus will lead you to safety. Even when it feels like the world is crashing in around you, Jesus will take you by the hand and he will lead you to safety. Even if it's not here on this earth, we have a hope that one day we will have eternity with him, where there will be no more pain and no more suffering. And that's a hope that we have. So Jesus takes us by the hand and he leads us to safety. Just like Peter, when Peter began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And so often we can doubt. I feel like Jesus says that to me every day. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I don't know. Because I see the world around me and I lose sight. I lose sight of what's truly important. And I fix my eyes on Jesus. And he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And that's a rhetorical question. He obviously knows everything there is to know about you and me. But he loves us. And he brings us to safety. Like he brought Peter back to the boat. And then the storms calmed and they worshiped. I'm sure they were like, "Finally, thank you, Lord. Let's just get it into shore and sleep." Jesus will lead you to safety. And for those of us who are seasoned Christians, don't stop experiencing new ways, new things with God, firsts with God. Don't stop. Allow God to use you in new ways. Because when God uses you in new ways, it causes worship and praise. So continue to push back against the complacency in your life and against the comfort in your life. Push back. Continue to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And we can take Peter's example on how he lived his life by constantly stepping out of the boat and believing the first and stepping out for Jesus, and being used in the first in new ways that in stepping out for Jesus. And God will use you in mighty ways. If you allow God to use you in new ways and continue to use you in all ways, if you live your life for him, it'll always be worth it. And he'll use you in amazing, mighty ways. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the example of Peter, stepping out in faith, looking to you, fixing his eyes on you, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that we would step out in faith when it comes to being uncomfortable, God, that we would just do whatever it takes, God, that we would just be used in new ways by you, God, that we would worship you and praise you when we see you do amazing things, knowing that it's got nothing to do with us, God, but it's got everything to do with you. You're the one who does miracles in our lives and in people's lives, God, and we're just used by you, and we're so grateful for that. We're so thankful that you choose to use us. So God, continue to use us. Continue to grow us. We thank you and we love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.